welcome all of you. Good afternoon, Cape Town. Welcome to you as well.
Thank you.
I want to introduce our speaker. It's Tolong Mokele. He's currently at the HSRC. He previously was a master's student at the University of KwaZulu-Natal, where he was a tutor and demonstrator for GIS and remote sensing, also a research intern, and he also has some publication records like authoring, co-authoring reports, conference presentations, and some journal articles. Currently at the HSRC, he's a chief researcher in the population health, health systems, and innovation research program. He's going to do his paper or presentation on the applications of GIS in census data or the in the use of census data, and we wish you good luck. Interesting topic.
Okay. Thanks, Che. And thanks, everyone, for coming. Yes, I'm going to present today the applications of GIS in census data, or the GIS census. My name is
Cape Town. Just Cape Town.
Cape Town, are you seeing the slide?
Yes,
we do.
Okay. Thank you. My name is Tolong Mokele, as introduced. First of all, I would like to start with the introduction. The applications of geographic information systems in socio-economic sciences are rapidly growing, especially for the census data. Which we know that census data is a powerful tool for the wealth development as well as poverty reduction, because the census is the one that gives sort of the information for almost everyone in the country, or almost every household in the country. GIS is the computerized system that allows geographically referenced information to be captured, stored, edited, displayed, analyzed, as well as printed. There is an improvement, as we have seen, that the South African National Department of Education has introduced the GIS in the curriculum for the first time in 2006. This is taking place in a phased approach for at least for the last 3 years of the secondary schooling. This figure just shows the capability of GIS in terms of analyzing data from different sources. For example, we can see that it can analyze data from field survey, which census is part of. Interviews, paper files, photogrammetry, remote sensing, digital data, as well as maps and plans. The importance of population census. First of all, I would like to define the population census. Population census is the process of counting the number of people and collecting, compiling, as well as evaluating, analyzing, and disseminating information about their demographic, social, as well as economic characters. Census data are therefore quite important for each, for every country. Census data are the foundation for a wide range of analyses required to improve the standard of living for people living in any country in the world. They are further primary sources of information that is needed for that are needed for effective development, planning, monitoring of the population. Furthermore, the census data are very important, as they provide a sampling frame for intercensual surface, because normally census data takes time in a 10-year period, so they are normally surveys that are done by countries or even different sectors of countries between that period, as you can't wait for the coming census for you to be able to see what is currently going on within the country. Census geography, this is the division of a country into geographical zone for the purpose of a census process. Normally, there will be what we call the enumeration area, whereas in other countries they are called enumeration divisions. And then these enumeration areas are the smallest geographical unit in which the country is divided into for the census collection, data collection. This should be in a size that one enumerator can be able to finish or to attend such to attend or to collect data from different households in such an enumeration area. It shouldn't be a too big geographical zone. And then we also have output areas, which is the smallest unit for which census data are disseminated. However, most countries, including South Africa before 2001, they used the same EAs that they used for data collection for the output of the or for the dissemination of their censuses. There are some concerns regarding the use of the same geographical unit, which is the EAs, for both census collection and dissemination, as the census data collection, they are created with the base with the base that the census the enumeration area should be not big or should be enough for one enumerator to collect information in that enumeration area, whereas the output areas should be in the sense that they can give the country or the government a figure of how is the government doing. Therefore, the concerns are the similar population size, the confidentiality thresholds, requiring the data to be contained with those EAs of nearby, with those of a nearby EA. The design of EAs before enumeration takes no account to social homogeneity, as well as the output shape. Hence, as I say, decided not to release the census 2001 data at EA level. Therefore, the development of a small area layer was done in 2005 by StatsSA. However, the small area layer addressed mainly the first two concerns, which is the similar population size, the confidentiality thresholds. Therefore, there is a need to investigate different methods, such as automated zone design, in the creation of census output areas, which can help in terms of disseminating census information in South Africa. Census GIS. The applications of census, as indicated, are rapidly growing over the world. GIS provides significant benefits to the census process in relation to reducing cost and time for pre-census activity. In addition, the heterogeneity and complexity of census data sets requires appropriate tools such as remote sensing and GIS to handle it. The role of GIS maps in census data. Generally, GIS plays a critical role in all stages of census process, which is pre-enumeration, during enumeration, as well as post-enumeration. At pre-enumerations, the maps are important to ensure that there is consistency and they facilitate census operations such as enumeration demarcations. Whereas during the census period, maps support data collection and help monitoring the census activities. At post-enumeration, maps makes it easy for presenting the census results as well as disseminating the census results. A brief global context of GIS census or GIS applications in census. Most developed countries as well as some developing countries have done some crucial part in GIS applications in the past three decades, i.e. USA, UK, Japan, and many others. For example, GIS mapping system started during the years 1991 and to 1993 in Japan, while the Israel census linked the census data to spatial elements as small as the buildings. And the USA developed the Tiger tool that was used in the 1990 census data collection. The growth of GIS in the 1990s led to a dramatic increase in the use of digital geographic information data. In most African countries, the applications of GIS is still relatively new. Since 1997, the national statistical offices in more than 15 countries have benefited from the Geospace International in terms of census mapping solutions, i.e. providing census mapping solutions to the Census of Namibia 2001, Census of South Africa 2001, Tanzania 2002, Lesotho 2006, and Sudan 2008, and also providing technical support and training to the statistical organizations of Botswana, Ethiopia, and Zambia. In South Africa, GIS mapping of census data is relatively new. Prior to 1996, the EAs or the EA boundaries were hand-drawn, in which we call it a traditional demarcation. Census 1996 presented a transition from the traditional method to mapping methods towards an electronic spatial database. Up to Census 1996, administrative boundaries in administrative maps served as the basis for demarcation, whereas town planning maps used for large new towns and developments. In addition, aerial photographs were used to pinpoint the new residential units. However, new developments were not reflected in these maps, and map-based publications of census results were proved to be difficult. Hence, HSRC took an initiative to address this situation and captured EAs of Census 1991 digitally. For Census 2001, it was for the first time that GIS technology was utilized in full for the demarcation of EAs and production of maps. About 8% of the 2001 demarcation was done in the office on a GIS using photography and digital topographic maps. And then for about 10% field inspection was done. Whereas for 2011 census, it is foreseen that the EA demarcation process would be less of a challenge than it was in the previous censuses. This is proven by the incorporation of GIS technology into census process through pre-enumeration, which is a creation of enumeration areas, as well as the use of the Spot 5 imagery 2008 in preparation of some imageries for 2011. And also the creation of the billing unit frame for the whole country is also a boost in terms of the demarcation, as this dwelling unit frame will indicate they indicate each and every household in the country. This is the South African geography hierarchy model for 2001 census data set. Like I was explaining previously, this is an example of the dwelling unit frame, whereby you can see that each and every household has a dot, which means the information has been captured for each and every household. And then in this information, you'll find that the municipality will be indicated, the name of the sub-place, the user ID, and the georeference coordinates, the head of households, and the dwelling unit type. And then this information will help in case, during census, in case of non-response, the field workers will be able to go back to the households that they were not able to get information, and this will avoid a repetition of households in terms of the survey. In terms of challenges in applications of GIS in census, we have one of the main challenges as the modifiable aerial unit problem. This is because census data are collected at an individual household, which is higher resolution, but the dissemination is done at lower resolution, which is at aggregated level, which is at EA or at municipality level or at sub-place level. The MOP is defined as a problem arising from the imposition of artificial units of spatial reporting on continuous geographic phenomena, which results in a generation of artificial spatial patterns. This problem is often associated with ecological fallacy, which occurs when it is inferred that the data that is collected from the study can be applied to individuals which are living in those areas. In trying to solve this, OpenShot 1997 found that the optimal zone design approach provided a solution for this problem. Because in this optimal zone design, the social homogeneity as well as the population size and the confidentiality thresholds are being considered in terms of developing an output that can be used for disseminating census data. Another challenge of GIS applications on census is the settlement status change. This will be shown in figure 5. Administrative boundaries or geographic frames also keep on changing every census. Therefore, it is hard to use GIS technology for trend analysis as well as comparison over time. Finally, the applications of GIS are said to be expensive, especially in developing countries. However, studies like the one done in Lesotho and Tanzania 2002 showed that with the use of GIS, the cost can be reduced up to 80% in terms of demarcating the enumeration areas. This is the example that I was indicating when I said the settlement status keep on changing. This is the EA in Cape Town in 2000, and then this is the same EA in Cape Town in 2002. As you can see that now the EA, there's been some development in terms of EA. Whereas here you can see it was only an informal settlement, but this time you can see things have changed. And then this poses a big challenge in terms of the total population living in these areas, because it might reduce the population size, or it might increase the population that when we sort of face a development stage. There are also opportunities in GIS applications in census. This is seen by the use of high-resolution imagery such as Spot 5 to confirm and define administrative boundaries in creating enumeration areas. And also the new technologies such as GPS, Trimble TSC3 and Trimble Tablet PC, as well as Sambandila Set in South Africa. These are bringing seems to be promising in terms of the help in the data collection. For example, this Trimble has a notepad whereby a person can access internet when he's at field, meaning he can communicate with the person who is in office as he's facing some challenges at field. And then the UN is also playing a crucial role in promoting the use of GIS, especially in this 2010 round of censuses. These are just examples of applications of census data, of GIS in census data. This is the percentage of unemployed people at a sub-place level. as we can see that Cape Town is doing quite well in terms of unemployment, as well as Northwest, whereas you can say Eastern Cape, KwaZulu-Natal, as well as Mpumalanga, with some part of Northwest, are a bit struggling in terms of unemployment. And then this was using the census 2001 data. To confirm this, we also used the 2007 community survey, of which this one was at municipality level. One can see that Cape Town was still doing good in terms of unemployment, and then Eastern Cape, around this Nongkonge municipality, as well as KwaZulu-Natal, even Free State, a bit of Malotiapofu municipality, you can see that they are not doing well in terms of unemployment rate, which is a bit confirming what was found in the previous data set using 2001 census data. This is the 3D map showing the population density of the city of Randburg Metro at suburb level, using the 2005 HSRC population estimate derived from 2001 census data. As we can see that Hillbrow has the highest population density per square kilometer. And we can also see that the Klipsloot, as well as the Soweto, Deep Roof, are also having sort of like high population density, as they range from 10,000 to 25,000. In conclusion, GIS is still a new technology in some countries, especially in developing countries, and its growth seems to be promising. The role played by the UN in promoting the use of GIS in developing countries is immeasurable. When we come to South Africa, the role played by StatsSA in the implementation of GIS applications in census data is promising. However, there is a need for detailed research in the applications of GIS as well as other geo-information technology in census data in order to have fully informed data for fully informed policies and decision makings. I would like to say thank you for lending me your ears.
Thank you, Tulong. I think you've got a couple of aspects there that can create some debate, I'm sure of that. I think we're going to allow questions for you. Not more than three, we'll do three questions and then give you a chance to answer of that. Cape Town, if you want to participate, please indicate so. We'll have three from this side and then I'll give you opportunity to pose your questions. Okay. Anybody from here?
thank you very much, Talon. This was indeed a very exciting and informative presentation. I have one simple question for you. Looking at your presentation on the enumeration area, do you foresee a situation in future where the advancements in the use of GIS technology as a sensor application, do you foresee a situation whereby we will not require enumerators, and for example, people just have to get out of their houses on a set date and time, stand outside, and technology does all the rest all at once? Because unless I didn't understand your presentation, but I got the impression that that is where we might be going. Thank you.
Morena Story from the Gauteng City Region Observatory. I don't know, is there anybody from Stats SA around?
Yes.
No. Okay, because some of the questions may relate to Stats SA rather than that presentation. I was looking at, for instance, the unemployment map that you've shown, and obviously there's different at between the community surveys of 2007 and the census of 2001. So there's obvious differences there. But have you investigated at any time the definition of unemployment? Because if you look, for instance, at the questions that are posed in the census, the questions would be certain things like, do you choose not to work? Can you not find work? That kind of thing. And then there's an unemployment one. But then when you want to calculate labor force participation, which actually means people that are able to work that cannot find a job, or, you know, to actually indicate labor force participation. If you investigate that, then the census outcome gives you another type of unemployment definition. Have you investigated those differences in definitions of things like unemployment, which makes it difficult to present a map? Because if I present a map of unemployment, and you present a map of unemployment using the same census data, we can have two different maps. Have you investigated any of that? That's my question.
Hi, I'm Janet John from CSIR. I just, sort of also between Stats SA and GIS, is, I don't know the next census, is it going to be paper-based as well, or are you looking, or is it feasible to look at other methods like research, mobile, you know, cell phone technologies and so on, also in terms of the mapping, ease of mapping and data capture and so on for that?
Thank you very much. I don't know whether you want to have a bash at the first question. Go
yes.
Wild with your imagination.
Which is tough one. For me, I don't know, but I've never thought of such. But what I'm thinking we'll end up having, I think we'll end up having a situation whereby census is just done on the online, maybe, or on desktop. That's my future sight in terms of. I don't know if it will be possible at some point that people will just be waiting at outside, just push information, and then that's done. I don't know if it makes sense. Or maybe it can help.
I think the challenge is the attribute data that gets collected together with the census, because how are you going to measure how old people are, or how do you measure how much, what is the education if they stand outside the house?
Okay. On the unemployment, I'm unfortunately not the right person. I was, for the last 2 years, just busy with creating EAs and place names, so I've got extremely tunnel vision at the moment. I don't know whether Gina want to have a bash at it. I think she quite recently used the data, so she might know. But I know it's an issue in Stats that there are discussions going on because of the, well, definitely you get different answers depending on what you do with the data or how you interpret. A lot to do with the IA of the beholder and the interpreter. So I know it is an issue. I'm not sure whether the new questionnaire is already published of the census. I don't think so. I haven't seen it. So I am unfortunately also not able to answer what the census question on employment would look like. I don't know if you want to say something.
No, I'm not
going to
comment. No,
I think the guys are aware that it's problematic to have different definitions for the same problem. On the third one, cell phone mobile data capture. You know? Shall I go?
Yes.
We did make use of a lot of digital information. For that matter, all information we used was digital to do the enumeration. Also, currently, we will do a pre-visit for the census to try and find where we missed things, where there's a discrepancy in the data that we used, which obviously had the date stamp of 2010, because we obviously finished with demarcation. Between demarcation and the actual fieldwork, you normally, you quite frequently get changes. Now, that changes we'll try and capture, but it poses a very difficult situation, because your enumerator has got matric and you cannot train 130,000 people on the same level, and they're just employed for the census time, so it gives you a window of 2 months, which actually, if you want to attempt it, it gives you maybe doubtful information back. But what we did do is, on the mapping, we've created a unique identifier where we don't have addresses, like that one with the dot. So that will have a number, and that number will be used as a unique identifier to potentially connect the questionnaire or the address or what information to a spatial locality. So in that sense, we hope after that, if we do, then it will be manual labor, mostly, or scanned and text recognition and things like that, to update the dwelling frame where we've got now gaps. So no promises on the time frame that it will take us to do that, but currently we do have more than 10 million dots with information in a central database. So we're getting there, but of different standards. Some places it's excellent, we actually know how many dwelling units within a building. Other areas we've got absolutely nothing, except that we can see on the photo that there are some settlements.
The actual questionnaire administration, is that still paper-based?
Will be paper-based, yes.
Is there a reason why it's not practical to do it? Because we've done the survey now and I've read that the big surveys it's kind of useful to do it on mobile technology, during which you can get your data automatically in a database and everything, and it sort of cuts out a lot of potential for mistakes.
They did experiment a bit, but I think the main problem or the main argument for those against it was the fact that coverage for whatever digital, and you need to have the census simultaneously. So you cannot send people from the one end to the other end. The idea is to recruit a person with any settlement. So if you don't have coverage, or you have to walk up the mountain to get the signal, then electricity and things that cannot be charged and all those kind of, it's just too much to handle with the big logistics.
I'd like to just add to that, if possible, to that answer. With the cell phones, it's not possible. India has done it with GPS units, where on the GPS they recorded it, and the next day the census data was available on the internet, but you must do it with GPS, you can't do it with cell phone.
We tested the option of a very cheap little GPS thingy, which actually just gives you the coordinate, and it then requires somebody by hand to write down the coordinate. Now, you can imagine what kind of errors you can get there. So, never mind the fact that it was a cheap instrument to have a position. It didn't work. The capturing of that information and linking was not feasible. Cape Town, are you ready with questions?
We don't have a question at this stage.
Good. Anyone else with me? Some questions? More questions?
Can I just ask, in the slide where you referred to the center geography, where you spoke about the collection units and the dissemination units, did you you mentioned one of the concerns is the similar population size. Can you maybe just expand on that point? What do you mean by similar population size and why is it a concern?
Okay. In terms of that point, in the similar population size, I was trying to refer to the fact that the enumeration areas, you'll find that in most cases they don't have equal population size. So it is quite a challenge in terms of the government, in terms of dishing out services. But at least if the enumeration areas are of approximately a similar size, it can be quite easier for the government to know that if we have 5 EAs in these municipalities, we can maybe say we spend this much. We know that maybe the total population might go to this level based on the population size of the EA.
I've got many questions. I'm going to just give two. The first one is, we found in trying to analyse, especially on local municipality level, where we're especially looking at things like service delivery, it's very difficult to use EA demarcation on that scale. So first is a scale issue. EA is really sometimes too... if you take, we can't use the EA, we have to use the small area layer. So the SAL is too large. My question is there any opportunity that even under a restrictive basis, one can get EA level details so that you can actually provide better services? That's the first question. The other question is the boundary correlation between EAs, wards, local municipalities, provincial municipalities, there's always some discrepancy, and it's very difficult, once again, to decide on service delivery because there's no boundary correlation. Is there any future that we may come towards a boundary where the boundary is actually the same line physically on a map, as opposed to, you know, cross-cutting boundaries? So those are two questions.
Okay, let me start with the wards issue. It's actually two different layers for two different purposes. Your wards is a reflection of your voting population that are registered. So it's got almost nothing to do with your total population. If you want to plan, you cannot only plan for your voters that's registered. So to use the wards for planning purposes is extremely silly. Right, so the question is, how should a proper output layer look like? Alright, if the small areas are too big, then how should it look like? If you cannot use an EA because the design was built, was designed, the purpose for EA is a work unit for 21 days for one person in a certain environment. So it's accidental if that area also adhered to the rules or the Stats Act that protects people. Right. So if you visit the conference in Cape Town at the end of the month, we'll have a workshop there to ask for participation. How should the small area look like? If it's too big, what is in the ideal size? Because given the fact that we did not do much research on the small areas, we said, okay, right, let's take a population of this size, see what variables will fall within if you start cross-tabulating, which will give you within your limits of exposure to people, and that was it. So there's nobody that says a small area like we published previously should be like that. No rule like that. All right, so another question would be to all the users, what variables are critical and how should the small area look like, and should all the variables be on the same geographical area? should you not have total population on something ridiculous like 50 households, like a street block? Would you be able, if you only have total pop, to identify a person? My personal opinion is no. Right, so now you have to see what is usable, what do you need in your environment. Tell us, please, as users, I need ABC for this purpose, for this levels, because of ABC, and then we should be, well, hopefully able to generate a product that is fit for most users. But no research, that's why I'm helping or participating in his studies, and because we really didn't have time to do research. Maybe in this year, but our first step would be to engage with users. If you can participate, if you even a bright thought, it might, you might not think it's bright, but whatever problem you have for the current small areas, even if you just want to moan, it will also help. but the small areas was really a reaction on the negative reaction of not having EAs, or at least have something better than the play steps. So the, in short, we are doing really something, we really hope we've got a year to actually come up with small area layer specification. Our GIS capabilities are much more advanced than previously. We've got actually too much spatial information. And secondly, the wards will, I think, never be aligned to EAs because we're out of sync. The election is before the census all the time. So either they must wait for us for a new census before they do an election to use that as an input, but they cannot expect the census to use wards. They do not have it. I mean, it's different purposes. So we have to go and use GIS, be creative, and do your proportion to area if you want to. So, again, then I want to promote GIS as a tool for the demographers. Otherwise, you also another thing that you should know, maybe you're not touching, is the change of all the boundaries. You'll have a shock of your life if you see how the geography differs from 2001. There's no hope that you cannot use GIS. And plain go for tabular data, the area that you're talking about changed. Even the name is the same. It's not the same area that you're talking of. So you cannot now stop and make conclusions on migration or whatever. So be very careful before you start with any analysis. Make sure that you're talking of the same area. Last question.
No, it's not a question. In terms of the wards, I think that message that you've just given should actually go through to the politicians, because we sit here, well, I sit here as a GIS practitioner doing what I'm told, and the politicians tell us that they are planning on wards. If you listen to speeches, you know, 50 priority wards in the 20 priority townships, and they take that, and we have to give census data on ward level, and that message doesn't come through to the planners that say don't use it as such, but
we are very aware of the pain, because we usually have to link the ears to the wards for the treasury and to whoever that is doing whatever.
Yeah.
And I mean, I'm guessing, because I'm telling you, I'm using a centroid and I'm linking it to the ward in where the centroid is falling, whether all the population are there or not.
Mm.
I cannot sit and now count 50 houses for you, 100 for you, and assume that it was homogeneously.
Mm.
It becomes very messy.
So I have to go.
I'm from the Institute for Security Studies. And we've got an initiative where we are trying to give information on a precinct level. Now, we also know from StatsSA, working with them on the National Victims of Crime Survey, that we know from SAPS that the precincts are going to change. But just to let you know, for our needs, we're really looking at trying to link populations and population densities to the official crime statistics. Mm-hmm. So in terms of policy making and crime prevention initiatives. So that's all for your information. I don't know if it helps at all, but any place where we could also say what we would like.
Yes, you're very welcome. Because we could try.
Good luck.
You want to contribute?
Okay. Yes, I would like to conclude by thanking everyone who attended, and I think there is more to be done in terms of the applications of GIS in census, as the challenges have been just said by the audience who were asking questions as well as the audience who were commenting. So I think we should be together in fighting this problem, especially, you know, try to include GIS in even before we have our service in terms of inter-central service. We should think of GIS at a later stage so that it will be much easier when we join the GIS, our survey data with the current GIS or census data. Thank you.
Thank you very much, and have a nice day.
Thank you, Kepler.